ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, good morning, man. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not much, man. Appreciate you taking time for being with us. So, obviously, the Titans have been very active this offseason. Rand Carthon is cooking. Hashtag Rand's plan, as I've come up with. On the Will Levis front, what do you think are, and let's just go ahead and assume they get a left tackle, whether that's Joe Alt or elsewhere, and the left tackle is adequate. What should the expectation be for Will Levis in year two, given what else has happened with this roster on the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, I think the expectation, if you're looking overall team-wise, it should be to get them in contention for the playoffs at the very least, if not the AFC South Division title. That's really what it comes down to. If you want to look at numbers, I mean, I would say 3,500 to 4,000 yards, 20 to 25 touchdowns. He has to get that interception total down. I think, in the low double-digit interceptions, those are reasonable stats to ask him to accomplish.
All right, TD, so you and I were texting the other day about the Harbaugh stuff, the comments, about the offensive line and everything like that, which, of course, it's a lot more nuanced than he made it seem. But also, when he talks about that stuff, people go to, Harbaugh, is he going to look at left tackle? Is he going to go for Joe Alt? Then you got all the stuff with the momentum for J.J. McCarthy. We had Charles Robinson on yesterday talking about, maybe Harbaugh's trying to, pump that up or whatever. There's all this stuff every year with this, but what's your read on that situation? And because I feel like the Chargers have to get a receiver, but you can make the case to get the left tackle too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have the argument that the offensive line is tougher to find later than the first round. I don't necessarily agree to it, but I mean, that is an argument that people will present and say, hey, go O-line at 5, and this receiver class is deep. You could get guys all the way down to the fourth round that can contribute. Look at UCF's Javon Baker. He'll be somebody later that will contribute. So I get the whole thing, and it's just one of those ideas where it's like what comes first, right? The chicken or the egg, right? You have to protect or do you have to be able to make plays? And they really go hand in hand. So in my opinion, at 5, he can't go wrong either way. If they do take a tackle, you got to remember, right, they got Trey Pipkins, who was a third-round pick, a few years ago. He's their right tackle right now. So, it's not like they haven't invested in the position. I would imagine they do take a tackle. I think J.C. Latham has a real good shot at being the guy at 5.
Do you buy the J.J. McCarthy stuff? Like, do you believe, based on what you've seen from him, that he's worth going that high?
Yeah, I don't know that I would put him in the top 10, but I mean, look, like Christian Ponder years ago went 7 or wherever he went overall. You know what I mean? So that's, it's true, definitely possible. I think, that's another Harbaughism, right? Like, he's coming out and he's saying, J.J. McCarthy is better than any other quarterback in the draft. But this is the same quarterback that he didn't let throw the ball in the second half. They ran the ball 32 times against Penn State. You know what I mean? This is the same 5-star quarterback that he signed, and they proceeded to be a run for his offense. So, I mean, I get it. He wants to hype up his guy and everything, but I don't believe in all the hype of McCarthy. I think he's a good player. You look at 3rd and long, he really elevated, and that's a good gauge on, whether a quarterback has it or not. But, man, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, those guys, they're better, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree with that. It's a question of, like, is someone actually going to reach, and then he's going to be number 4 coming in right after him, which it does. It happens too often in this league. So with the Titans, TD, inside linebacker, we've talked some about Kenneth Murray and how maybe the scheme is going to be better for him. He's obviously a very explosive player, but, I mean, obviously, I don't know what they're doing the other spot. Do you, right now, I mean, my guess would be Gibbons with the green dot, starting in there next to Murray. Is that how you see it? Do you feel like there's any possibility, that like a drafted rookie could come in and make that kind of impact early?
I mean, it's possible. I think Gibbons is probably going to be the option. I mean, this is the same guy that Mike Vrabel coined, called him Dr. Jack because of how well he knew the defense and quickly he learned it. So I think that definitely says something. And you're right, Kenneth Murray, you just want him to go. I told Jerry yesterday, man, he's the type of guy you just say, look, man, just go out there and just mess stuff up. Like, just be a disruptor. Just tear everything up. You know what I mean? And we'll live with, this and that. Just go out there and bust stuff up. And I think you can't do that and be someone who has to be worried about getting everybody lined up and thinking too much. You got to just let him play freely. Now, the same thing kind of goes for a rookie as far as, like, not having him think too much. Because think about it. As a rookie, and Chris Sanders said this on Run TMC on the Talking with TD podcast this week, think about it. As a rookie, you're going out there and you're just trying to make sure that you know your assignment and what you have to do, right? Imagine having to know your assignment and then know everyone else's assignment. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be difficult for you to know all that and still play fast. So that's a tough thing to do, and I think it's going to come down to a veteran. And don't forget, Chance Campbell is on the roster too. He was a late draft pick a couple years ago. I still think Chance could play a little bit.
So, TD, this is the first time we've talked to you since the L'Jarius Sneed trade made official, and he's coming over here to the Titans. So that corner group now with McCreary, Awuzie, and Sneed in the fold, what do you make of what a difference that trio is going to make for the Titans? And what do you make also of the idea maybe of kind of the defense with Denard Wilson coming in, building from the back forward when it relates to, maybe not as deep as you want to be at the edge rusher spot, not adequately replaced the Nico Autry maybe as of yet with the draft still to come, but certainly have loaded up at the cornerback position.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the way that they had to pivot to being stronger from the back end towards the front end. And anytime you could get a guy like Sneed and get it for the compensation they did and agree to that package money-wise, I think you got to do it, right? As long as everything checks out, and it looks like the knee has checked out, and they'll just have to do some maintenance on it. But you look at the player and you look at the coach, I don't know that there's a better match, because you look at what Sneed said about how he wants to be aggressive. And aggressive, everybody says, well, that's just blitzing. No. He wants to be aggressive throughout. And I think in the secondary, that's clearly something that Sneed brings. But then if you mention blitzing, he is someone that is low-key a really good blitzer, right? You can send him off the edge. You can send him off the nickel. And he knows how to get to the quarterback, right? So you have that. But then even when you blitz, you want that sticky coverage behind it. And he's really good, whether it's zone or man. So you have that right there. I think that's a really good match. And then on top of that, you look at the physicality that Awuzie brings. I think you have that there. Roger McCreary, just the feistiness and sticky coverage that he brings. You're in really good shape in the cornerback part of the secondary. You just got to hope that Amani Hooker, Elijah Molden, they could hold up. Because if they don't, you're probably going to need to draft somebody or something, to have that security between that draft pick and Matthew Jackson. So you got that. I think it's really going to be about, hey, man, we need you guys to cover enough to allow the guys up front to get home. And that's really what it comes down to. There are some good rushers in the draft, you know what I mean? So all the way down, the fourth round, right? You got Adisa Isaac. You go a little bit later, get a pass rush specialist, that had some injury stuff, like Xavier Thomas out of Clemson. I mean, there's a lot of guys in here that could be impactful.
I'm sure Jared asked you this in some way, TD, but what about the compensation for Sneed? Like you said, I mean, the Titans obviously aware of the knee situation and checking it out, but does that raise your eyebrow at all?
No, I don't think it does at all. You look at how trade value works, right? So next year's pick, you take a pick this year and you drop it down one. So in other words, a third-round pick next year is basically equivalent to a fourth-round pick this year. You know what I mean? And you have some good players that have been traded for a fourth-round pick. And I think you also have to look at the situation. This is a team where they basically – if you ask me, they had to pick between Sneed or Chris Jones, right? And it was essentially what I believe to have come down to who agreed to the deal first. And obviously Jones agreed. He's back. And this is a team that also develops corners really well, right? Dave Merritt is a really good DB coach. So they say, hey, we'll get some compensation and we'll go ahead and bring in the next guy, and this is a deep draft. And remember, Snead is a guy they picked at 138, right? And he was a safety coming out of Louisiana Lafayette. They switched him back to corner, and you see what happened. So I don't think it's a bad deal as far as, like, anybody getting fleeced or anything like that. I think it was a perfect storm for both teams.
TD, tell us what we can find this week on Talking with TD. You mentioned Run TMC. What else we got?
Say that one more time.
I said, tell us what we can find this week on Talking with TD.
Yeah, that's my apologies. You know, these birds want to talk as much as me, so I couldn't really hear you right. I'm sitting out front. But, yeah, no, this week, I dug in on the Snead thing, talked a lot about that. I have some quotes from Steve Spagnuolo, from Snead himself, on really wanting to be that lockdown corner. So you got that. And then, Run TMC, we talked about Snead, and we talked about just different things, man. Check it out, Chris Sanders, Titans receiver. Then I got into some options at pick number 7. So definitely a solid show for you to check out, man. Appreciate you guys.
Check that out. We're talking with TD. TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you have a great weekend. And tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I hope you guys have a great weekend also. And, man, with this being March Madness, this is a great opportunity for you to download ESPN Bet, the app. And right now what we're trying to do is we want to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sports book of ESPN, and it has it all. Offers from and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, and from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out on the ballpark, there's no better time to be a sports fan. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. You got to be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-888-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
We'll react to what TD had to say. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Also continue to look ahead to the Vols and Creighton coming up tonight in the Sweet 16. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We'll have weekend winners coming up here in about 12 minutes or so. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, Creighton and Tennessee tonight in the Sweet 16. Tennessee with a chance to advance to the Elite Eight for the second time in program history. They'll take on the winner of Gonzaga and Purdue if they're able to take down Creighton tonight in the Sweet 16. We talked a little bit yesterday about the matchup against Creighton, but As we sit here today, what do you make of the matchup for the Vols that they're facing tonight? What do they have to do to really slow down Creighton in order to make sure they win this game? And what do you think this win does, if they can get it, for Rick Barnes, the conversation around him as it relates to the NCAA tournament and the failures that we've seen?
Well, as matchups go this deep in the tournament, you expect to be playing an excellent team, playing excellent basketball, and having a tough time beating them. That's what you expect to get to the Sweet 16. And this team is that, for Creighton. They like to play fast. They average 80 points a game, or almost 81 points a game. They shoot the heck out of the basketball. The guys, high 30s, low 40s, shooting the three. And so that's like someone pointed on the text line. They blew out UConn this year. They did. And we know how it goes in college hoops sometimes. You get the right night on your home floor with a huge opponent and you can't miss. And, that can happen. This is not going to be a home floor for Creighton. I'll actually be very interested to see how many Creighton and Tennessee fans are here. But their star is Baylor Shireman. He's a third-team All-American, 6'6", guard, incredible shooter, 18-9 he's averaging. Another Dakota kid, just like Dalton Connect, first team All-American for Tennessee, which is interesting. And by the way, Dakota kid last night for Alabama was the star. So
basketball hotbed.
I tell you what, man, but the reason I like this matchup is because Creighton has a bunch of good shooters. They run good stuff. They are a good team. They don't have anybody who I think is a matchup issue for Tennessee. Now, the one thing that can happen is Ryan Kalkbrenner 7 foot center. He can shoot the three too. I mean, he's a very good player. If he, you know, he draws Jonas Adu away from that basket enough, and then you don't have that rim protection, which is a big part of Tennessee's defense. They do play aggressively. Sometimes that means people get to the rim. Adu is there as a rim protector. You draw him away from the basket. You know, that's going to be, I think, a part of Creighton's game plan. But I think Creighton has much tougher matchups on the other side. I don't think they have anybody perfect for Ziegler. I don't think that, I mean, I don't know who has anybody perfect for Connect. You know, it's always every team. It's like, okay, we're going to put the guard out there and not let him just like, you know, quickly drive to the cup, or do we put the little bit bigger person so we can't just go in the high post? And right. That's the thing, whatever it is, he'll just do the other thing. I just think the matchups are a little bit better for the Vols, but Adu has to really step up and play well. And Awaka, you know, they've got to stand up to Kalkbrenner in there, and they just have to stay attached to shooters. When you don't have matchup issues, it's much easier to stay attached to shooters.
Well, and speaking of shooters, like, can Tennessee shooters knock down shots tonight? Because two out of the last three games, it's been a big issue. I mean, look, even the Kentucky game that they lost, I mean, they didn't shoot the ball great until a little bit later in the game, and then it was too late at that point. So, like, they have struggled to shoot lately. And, look, I expect them – look, I don't expect them to be 1-for-21 at any point from the three-point line. If they are, Joe, they're probably in serious trouble at that point. So, I would hope that they're going to shoot better than that tonight. But can you establish some confidence early in the game, be that from James, be that from Vescovy, or even Connect, right? Like, I thought, you know, Connect struggled to get going last game out against Texas. If he got off to a hot start and was just immediately knocking down shots, I think that's a big boost for Tennessee's entire team. So can you see some shots fall early and kind of settle into a groove there offensively?
Yeah, it's a big deal because, I think there's something to the snowball effect and a lot of things with teams. I mean, it's weird. It's hard to explain. But I think that's what we saw last game. I think it just got to the point of, you know, just a little bit of uncertainty when those shots are going up and they all just missed. And it's just like it got to the point with a game that they really should have won by about 12 to 15 points, where it's like they might actually blow this game because they cannot hit one shot. And most of them are shots I can't argue with. Like, that's what with your Texas, you're like, okay, that's what we're giving them. So I like you do have to take what the defense gives you to some extent. And I would imagine Creighton is going to lean into that and say, let's hope that it's in their heads, you know, let's hope it's in their heads. And okay, Vescovy, and of course he's sick, but I'm assuming he's going to play Vescovy, James, Gainey, whoever's out there, go ahead. You know, at least one or two of those guys got to make them pay for it. But then your main guys too, especially, I mean, Ziegler and Connect have had high numbers all year from three. You know, Connect is below 40% for the first time all season now, with his recent drought, and Ziegler's been kind of slumping too, man. There's no way they're getting out of this weekend, and maybe not tonight, if like those guys don't get back to kind of what their numbers have been all season.
Yep. Totally agree with that. And then, you know, who can take the best nap today with the 10:09 PM Eastern time tip tonight that we're going to see a late one tonight for Tennessee and Creighton.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's, you know, for the fans out there, it's a Friday at least. I mean, last night it's like, my gosh, Illinois, Iowa State in Boston ending at 1 a.m. Like, okay, you know, great for the, I know, like, Steve Lehman said something, like, I think he has family who lives there, and they're like, they were going to take their daughters, like, oh, well, never mind, it starts at 10:20 on a Thursday. Yeah. I guess not. But, yeah, it's a long, long wait, you know, for these games. And that's another thing. It's like, today is game day. I'm in the Tennessee team hotel right now. I mean, I would assume they're letting them sleep in as late as they want to sleep in, because, like, you don't want to start the whole process of the team breakfast and the walkthrough and then just sit around for hours watching Netflix, you know? So that's an interesting kind of way to handle that if you're a coach.
The other games today, NC State and Marquette, taking place in the South region. Gonzaga and Purdue, obviously. And if Tennessee wins tonight, they'll take on the winner of Gonzaga and Purdue on Sunday. And then, Joe, what I think is a very intriguing game, Duke and Houston coming up tonight at 8:39, the tip-off here locally on CBS. Houston favored by 4.5 in that one, but that's a really intriguing game to me.
Yeah, me too. I really haven't liked Duke that much this year. I don't think they're that great, but they looked great last game. And I think Houston should handle that game, but Houston's also tough. I mean, we just saw them maybe the craziest game of the tournament, have to have the craziest game of the tournament, then I'll walk on to hit free throws to beat Texas A&M. So
yeah.
I just like last night, tell you, I mean, I didn't think Clemson had a chance. All right, Bama beats Carolina. Like last night tells you, just, you know, there are some certainties. Right now, UConn looks like one. I think Purdue looks like one too. But most things are not certain, and wild stuff could happen tonight too.
Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Toledo Mudhens on the road. Pregame at 2:50, first pitch 3:05, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air, and Air Conditioning. Coming up next, it's time for weekend winners. We'll get to Tennessee and Creighton coming up tonight. The Preds with a huge game against Colorado tomorrow. All that and more coming up next on Weekend Winners. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN, 102.5, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
It's time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots going on this weekend. The NCAA tournament, huge game for the Preds tomorrow, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. We'll get into all of that and more here on the program. A standings update in the competition. Nick Kieser, 4-2 last week with no lock. Robbie Stanley, 3-3 with his lock. I'm speaking about myself in the second and third person. Joe Rex Road, 2-4 with his lock last week as well, which brings the overall standings. Nick Kieser in first place, 17-13 overall, 2-3 on his locks, good for 19 points.
That's right.
I am in second place, 15-15 overall, 3-2 on my locks, good for 18 points, 1 point behind Kieser. Joe Rexroad, 13-17 overall, 3-2 on his locks, good for 16 points. So Nick Kieser in the lead in the competition.
Hell, with that
in
yeah.
Vols and Creighton come up tonight in the Sweet 16. Tennessee is favored by 2.5 points on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Nick Kieser, you are in first place. So who do you have tonight between Tennessee and Creighton?
Yeah, I'll have my pot of coffee on this evening once again. But look, I'm going to enjoy this game a lot, and I would love to see the Vols advance. And I think they do. They're -2.5, like you said, Robbie. Give me the Vols, and I think they will cover this evening. So give me the Volunteers over the Blue Jays.
Vols lock. Lock it down on the Vols. They're going to shoot the ball a lot better tonight. They're going to win this game by about 6 or 7 points. Well, I feel good about Tennessee tonight. I'm locking down on Tennessee. -2.5 against Creighton. Joe, it's a very dangerous place to be, but that's what I'm doing.
Wow, I'm surprised, man. Yeah, good for you. If they lose, we know who to blame.
Yep, sure do. Who you got tonight between Tennessee and Creighton?
Yeah, I got the balls. Look, Creighton, just like Gonzaga, Creighton and Gonzaga can both come in here tonight and just hit contested threes all night and see ya. It could be a nice Creighton. What a scene that would be. Creighton Gonzaga Sunday. Ah, what a Detroit would be up in arms for that one. But I like the Vols. I like the Vols too. They're the better team and they have better matchups. So go Vols. I'm not saying go Vols. I'm saying I'm going Vols.
Thank you.
But I could say go Vols.
You could do that. Preds versus Avalanche tomorrow in a big game on the road in Colorado. I'm up first on this one. Going puck line here, I'm going to go Colorado. I think Colorado at home is going to be too much for the Predators. They've been the best home team in the league all season long. They've now dropped a couple there, so that's been interesting to watch. But I'll go Colorado at home on the puck line. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes overtime, Joe, but I'll go Colorado at home. Rex Road, who you got between the Preds and the Avalanche?
Yeah, same thing. I do agree with the idea that, like, it's not a bad thing for this team to take a little humbling, kind of get through the streak and move on. But also, I don't think this is the best immediate assignment to have to go into that place with a team that hasn't beat you this year. So give me the Avs.
Nick Kieser, Preds and Avalanche on the road in Denver for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, clean sweep here, fellas. I think that this team's just too damn good at home. By the way, Nathan McKinnon's probably out for a little bit of vengeance. His 35-game home point streak ended last night. So yeah. I think he's going to go on a tear this evening.
We'll see what happens as they take on the Avalanche tomorrow. We move to the individual portion of the program. 4 individual picks today. Joe Rexroad, you're up first. Your first individual selection.
Well, the other one here in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena, which has a Tim Hortons in it, by the way. Very exciting. Gonzaga, Purdue. Purdue -5.5. We talked about it earlier. I'm a little surprised by that. So give me Purdue and make that my lock.
Guarantee.
They're just locking too good. Down, locking down on the Boilermakers against Gonzaga. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I'll make this quick, Joe. That's exactly what I was going with as well. Not my lock, but I am going with the Boilermakers.
So going -5.5 for Purdue against Gonzaga. I will take the Duke Blue Devils +4.5 against Houston. And I will take the Duke Blue Devils to win outright, but I will certainly go the +4.5 against Houston coming up tonight in the Sweet 16. So give me Duke on that front. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
Robbie, I don't go that way whatsoever. I really think the Cougars will come out on top, and I think that they'll cover, and that's also my lock. Yeah! So we're going to have a little bit of a good competition here. So I like that. That's going to be fun for our program.
It'll be fun for the program. No doubt about it. My second pick, give me Alabama -3.5 against Clemson, with Alabama advancing to the Final Four, Joe Rexroad. Basketball school, the Alabama Crimson Tide, -3.5 against Clemson. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Well, I'm going to make it even more fun on the Houston-Duke game, and I'm going Kieser's way. I think Duke gets exposed. Give me Houston -4.5.
The Samson redemption, man.
Houston -4.5 against Duke. Joe Rexroad, your third individual selection.
Okay, so I'm going to go NC State Marquette. Marquette is -6.5. Big deal for Shaka Smart to get to this round, too. It's been a long time for him. NC State's just not on one. I don't know if they're going to win outright, but I do like them to cover. Give me NC State and the 6.5.
So we're talking NC State +6.5 against Marquette. Nick Kieser, your third individual selection.
Yeah, making things more interesting. I'm going to get Clemson to cover the 3.5 against Alabama.
So Clemson +3.5 against Alabama. Talking about Clemson-Alabama Elite Eight. It's funny to talk about that, just given the fact that they're both really familiar opponents in the college football playoff. At least they were at one time.
But it may never
be again. We'll see what happens. I'm going to the NBA. I will take the Oklahoma City Thunder +2.5 at home against the Phoenix Suns. Oklahoma City having a great year. I think that they will cover and they will win outright at home. +2.5 against the Phoenix Suns. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
For no reason whatsoever, give me the Sacramento Kings -1 over the Mavericks. They've kind of struggled against them this season, but I love Sabonis. I love the way that he plays. I believe he leads the NBA in triple-doubles this season. I think the Kings could possibly get this one done against the Mavs.
My final pick, I will go the Portland Trailblazers +14 against the Miami Heat. That's a big line for an NBA game. And my beloved Miami Heat are struggling a little bit right now. I think they're going to win, but I think that the Portland Trailblazers will cover the massive spread that is 14 points. So Portland +14. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Yeah, that's quite a spread. All right, I'm going to the Elite Eight, and I got Illinois-UConn. UConn -8.5. I hope I'm wrong on this because I really want that to be a great game. I think Illinois will hang and give them a better game than they've been getting. They're beating everybody by double digits. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I think they're going to win this by about 10, too. So give me UConn -8.5.
They feel like they are just on an absolute tear here to go win another national title. That's what it feels like watching them.
It does. It does. You know, now it's felt that way before other teams that they've gotten tripped up along the way. Still know Illinois has quite enough. But yes, UConn right now is playing the best ball out there, period.
I mean, the best possible game, and this is all on paper. I mean, you were excited about UConn, Auburn, and the potential for that, and then Auburn screwed it up and lost to Yale. But I mean, I will say, the Tennessee fan in me aside, if we get a national title game with UConn and Purdue, that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, it would be. And also, I would say that if we get here in Detroit, Purdue, Tennessee, that's a Final Four. That's a national title level game, you know,
for sure,
in the Elite Eight. So, I mean, that would be, I think, to that point, the best game in the tournament with, I agree. I mean, the dream matchup right now for the general basketball fan would be Purdue-UConn.
No question about it. And then, you know, Tennessee, we all picked them to cover the spread tonight and win against Creighton. Creighton's a good team. There is a lot of pressure, I think, on Tennessee in this game specifically. We talked about the Rick Barnes part of this earlier of if you get to the Elite Eight, does that quiet the noise a little bit? Let me tell you one thing that definitely will not quiet the noise. If they lose to Creighton tonight and they're out in the Sweet 16 with this team, it's just going to be like taking a, you know, a lighter to gas and just throwing it right all over it with Rick Barnes in the tournament discussion, given the year that they've had, the tournament that this team is expected to have with the potential player of the year in Dalton Connect, certainly the SEC player of the year. Like, if you go out tonight against, albeit a very good Creighton team, the Rick Barnes conversation going to fire right back up again, Joe.
Yeah, it will. You know, you step away from that season and you say, okay, so what was Tennessee's season? Well, let's see. They won the SEC championship. You know, by the way, Tennessee right now is 3-0 against the Elite Eight so far in this tournament. Won the SEC championship, got to the Sweet 16 for the 10th time in school history. That's a good season. That's a successful season, right? But yeah, it will be close to a meltdown, and it'll go right back to the Rick Barnes stuff for sure. I mean, that's just how it is. Like, he has built a special team, and I know that nobody at Tennessee knew how special it could be or how special Dalton Connect was going to be this year. So when you kind of catch that lightning in a bottle, I mean, they pursued him. Other teams pursued him. He was a talented guy. But what he's become this year, when you get that with everything else that's in place, you know, with fifth-year seniors who are playing their fifth year of college basketball, like James and Vescovy, and Ziegler, I believe, is absolutely one of the top 5 point guards in America, bar none. Man, you just don't have too many opportunities like that. And so that's where, even though you could sit here with a loss tonight and say, hey, good season, it's also a disappointing lost opportunity if that's how it goes.
Our final thoughts on the NCAA tournament, Preds' big matchup against Colorado coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road live from Detroit, Michigan, right across the water from Windsor, Ontario, in advance of the Tennessee Volunteers taking on Creighton tonight in the NCAA tournament. Big game coming up for Tennessee, obviously. Joe, last night in the tournament, Alabama beating North Carolina in a great game and advancing to the Elite Eight. Clemson takes down 2-seed Arizona, so their magical run continues. Illinois with a win 72-69 over 2-seed Iowa State. And then UConn utterly destroys San Diego State 82-52. Had a few good ones last night with the exception of UConn and San Diego State.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama, North Carolina was fabulous. Awesome. And really, Illinois, Iowa State turned into a good game. I mean, Illinois, it looked like they were going to kind of run away with it, but I'm just stunned by Clemson. I really am. I mean, I had Arizona in my comically bad bracket in my Final Four along with Kentucky, so that's going well. Who else did I have? We haven't talked about our brackets enough, you know? I think we need
probably
to talk more
Purdue
about our brackets.
And UConn.
Yeah, there you go. So I guess so far I got those right. Gonzaga will go nuts tonight. But no, Bama-UNC, man, Bama-UNC might have been the best game of the tournament so far. I mean, RJ Davis having a game that bad, you know, the whole thing out there. I mean, it's all about RJ Davis, Caleb Love. You know, they were teammates and it didn't go well at the end, and now they're going to face off in the Elite Eight and then they're both out. That's the thing. You always think you can plan for something this tournament. You know what's going to happen. Oh, this is going to be amazing. What a matchup. Just like I thought Auburn-UConn was going to be amazing. And then something different happens altogether. Clemson is just a team that just got blown out by Boston College ACC tournament. The Brad Brownell, people have wanted him out. And now it's like, I mean, he has – they absolutely could beat Alabama's – you know, how they play. The way they play is they can go beat a one seed. And they could lose by 10 to Clemson in this Elite Eight game. So I have no idea what's going to happen in that one. That's why I didn't touch it in weekend winners.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild one. There's the Tennessee game tonight. If they win tonight, the winner of Purdue and Gonzaga, which most people assume will be Purdue. And that could be a titanic matchup on Sunday, Joe. If Tennessee wins tonight, they're playing Purdue Sunday with a spot to the Final Four on the line. Number one, there's the intrigue of Matt Painter, Rick Barnes. One of them's going to get there at that point. If that's going to be the matchup, is Purdue and Tennessee on Sunday. And number two, what an opportunity for Tennessee, if that's the case, to advance to the Final Four for the first time and to make them kind of put the stamp on this scene, be the most successful season in the history of the men's basketball program with a chance to go compete for a national title. I mean, this could be a groundbreaking weekend for the Tennessee men's basketball program if they're up to the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, they are one win away tonight, if they can get it, from having a shot at the biggest win in school history. And I don't know if they're going to get it. If Creighton shoots great tonight, Creighton can beat anybody on a given night. And Tennessee's shooting's got to be better. But Purdue, Tennessee, met in Hawaii. You know, Fletcher Lawyer had a like career game of 27. Zach Edey did his thing, 23-10. Zakai Ziegler was not Zakai Ziegler at that point. You know, 2-for-11, 1-for-7 from three, 3 assists, 3 turnovers in just 28 minutes. And he just wasn't ready yet. He was playing, but he wasn't him. And so you look at the box score of that game and how guys played, in particular him. You know, Connect had 16, but it wasn't a special game. You know, it's both teams have gotten better since then. But I think the Vols have gotten more better, if that's a good way to say it, because of Ziegler. He is he's playing at an incredibly high level, not shooting at the high level, but everything else about his play is elite. I mean, the defensive end tonight, you know, just watch him. He's going to be out there and be an absolute – that's the word that Greg McDermott used for him yesterday. He's a menace.
So the point streak ends for the Predators last night in Arizona. They lose 8-4. It was ugly defensively. UC Saros did not play well. He was eventually pulled for Kevin Lankinen. They're back at it tomorrow against the Colorado Avalanche. Joe, it's an interesting game. I'll say this. Like, if they're able to go on the road tomorrow and beat Colorado right after this point streak ends, to me, number one, that's really impressive to do that. Number two, you start to wonder about the Colorado matchup of, well, everybody's afraid to play Colorado, but that would make the Predators 3-0 tomorrow if they're able to do it against the Avalanche and if they do it on the road. So a big one coming up for Nashville tomorrow and a big opportunity to really make another statement against one of the league's best teams on the road.
Yeah, like I said, I don't love that this is the next game after the streak breaker, just because then all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, what? You know, because, you know, you can lose, you could play well. You could go into Denver against that team and play pretty well and lose. And so now we could be sitting there talking about, you know, a streak on Monday morning. But if they do go in and win that game, that's a great response. That's a great response without question. And maybe it speaks a little bit to, okay, now everybody can stop worrying about the streak and all that. It was great. You know, now that's the new standard for a team in the future to try to match. And now just get back to playing your game and getting ready for the playoffs and getting into the playoffs.
Joe, Jared Stillman has referred to me as Paul Kuharsky Jr. on Twitter for my take last night of my beloved Preds media members, of which Nick Kieser is one of them, but he's not the only one. So let me make that completely clear. It's been an epidemic this year of people tweeting out line combinations and not being at the game. Okay. Am I going full PK like on Teresa Walker London on this tweet?
I don't think so, actually, Robbie. And you know what? I have given credit this season. So, yes, you do got me. I am guilty. I admit it. I do need to give credit more often. Oh, no. Like, that's fine. Like, when I saw what you said, I thought immediately, yeah, that's me, but that's okay. But, like, I've done it every game. Yeah, I've done it every game this season. Now, I will say, like, I would rant about that, too, because there's some people that, like, don't do it very often whatsoever. The people that do it, like, every, like, 5 or 2 games, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, this makes no sense. You're not even there, nor do some of them actually show up. So, there you go.
Well, here's my only thing on that is, you know, like, in a lot of cases, the Preds, like, there's not independent media traveling with them, right? I mean, it's just correct. like the Tennessean, it's no longer a full travel beat. I mean, like, no one does. I mean, there's not a lot of full travel in the NHL. I mean, really, you look around, even like NBA, MLB, like, general, it's less and less. Yeah, so I guess, like, if there's no one except, like, the team, I don't know. I guess if you guys or Doherty tweets out that information, I find that information interesting. That would be my only argument against what you're saying. It's a little PK-ish. I mean, it's not like the way he does it, you know, like this, because, like, again, like, you're not allowed to tweet about, like, a play unless you're there. Yeah. And I think that's insane. But I mean, it's sort of adjacent to it.
I mean, I did get me a Don't Block the Box t-shirt. So maybe I'm, like, transforming right before our very eyes.
Oh, good.
You'll start, I'll wear it Wednesday.
Start talking like this, Robbie.
No, God, please, no. God, no.
Joe, have a wonderful time in Detroit. Hope you enjoy the games tonight and the games this weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the big sports action coming up in the NCAA tournament and a big one for the Preds tomorrow against the Avalanche. We'll be back Monday morning. Chasing Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.